Welcome to Word Mission Church International Podcast. Now the Word with Paul Mensah Wood.
Let's get into our Bible lesson this morning. Last week, we talked about faith. Faith is so important. It's a very important subject in the Bible, and it's inexhaustible. But we'll try to, for every topic, I pray that God leads me so we cover what the people need every week. My heart is that God, let your people receive what they need to receive. It's so important. A word spoken in season, how good it is. So that's my heart and prayer. And so last week, we talked about what faith is. It's so important. And I said, to be successful in the Christian walk, number one, you must know what faith is. And then you must know how it comes. And then once you know how it comes, you must know how to release it or how to put it into circulation. It's like having money. You can have money in your pocket, but if you don't know how to use it, some people underspend, some people overspend. Some people don't spend at all. But faith is so important. Once we have it, we must know how to release it. So last week, we talked about what faith is. It's a very, very important subject in the Bible. And so let's go back to our key scriptures. And then we looked at the value of faith. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Thank you, Lord. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Then, if you go downwards, verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Then we looked at verse 8 as well, where we talked about by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out to go to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. And we said that faith always obeys God, always obeys God's word. And when we obey God's word, miracles are the result. And we looked at Genesis chapter 12 as well, where he was referencing the life. I'm just covering some high spots from last week, and then we'll keep going. Now the Lord, Genesis chapter 12 verse 1 says, now the Lord has said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Verse 4 says, so Abraham departed. And in Hebrews, Abraham departed as the Lord has spoken to him, and the Lord went with him. But in Hebrews, he tells us how he did it. By faith, God said, go. Where are you going, Abraham? I don't know. God said, I should go, so I'm going. I am obeying God. So important. So faith, real Bible faith, also obeys God's word. But then we also talked about the value of faith. But why is faith so important? And we reference also in Luke chapter 18, verse 8, where he talks about the fact that, and then in verse 8, he says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, would he really, really find faith on the earth? So faith is something that God will look for, Jesus will look for when he comes back on the earth. And you see it even in the culture, faith has become an issue of contention. But that question, with the Son of Man, when he comes, would he find faith on the earth? I pray that when he comes, he will find faith in this company of believers here. And not only here, but all over the world. Because people are still trusting and believing the word of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, so then the key becomes, why is this so important when we talk about the faith war? Several times and four times in scripture, Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4, notice what he says. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. He repeats it again in Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Thank you, Lord. He said, talking about the gospel in the previous verses, verse 16 says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jews first and also for the Greek. Verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith, or the righteous shall live by faith. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And he repeats it again in Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. He says, notice what he says again. That no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. He repeats it again in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want us to see the importance of it as to why it's repeated in all these phrases. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Now means now. Now always, every time you say now, it refreshes. It becomes now. Now the just shall live by faith. And if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Hebrews 11 says, if anyone draws back from faith, my soul has no pleasure in him. Because like he said in Hebrews 11, 6, without faith, it is impossible. There are some things that are impossible. It is impossible to please him. So if it is impossible to please him without faith, and the just shall live by faith, that means faith is our lifestyle. Faith is how we are supposed to live. Then it must be very important. There is no living as a Christian without walking out the faith life. Someone said, the just shall live by faith and they will die by doubt. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice also what he says about faith in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I just want us to see the value of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Thank you, Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. This is so important. We live by faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. And then also we walk. Our whole walk is by faith, not by sight. Not by what our physical senses are telling us. Because when we are talking about faith, we are dealing with visible material. We walk by faith, not by sight. So important. I like the subject of faith in the Bible. It's so important. Notice what he told the Galatians also. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So many times, this is the Apostle Paul writing. It's easy to think that some of the miracles, it happened because he was an apostle. No, he's saying that he that does miracles, he does it by the hearing of faith. He kept teaching the people about faith. And as they did, faith came. And as a result, the miracles were produced. It's so important. The miracles and ministering or supplying of the Spirit, he's saying, is by the hearing of faith. Because Romans chapter 10, verse 17 talks about the fact that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you notice, a lot of the testimonies that we receive here, someone will say, you were ministering or you prayed or I heard God's word, faith came and I acted on God's word, and a miracle was the result. That's the best way to receive. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You have to realize that when it comes to faith, hope comes, and for faith to work, hope comes first. And if you are not hoping for anything, you won't get anything. Faith has nothing to work with. Faith is an image of what has come to you as a result. Also, the basis of hope is also the word of God. If you see yourself the way God sees you in his word, sooner or later, and you begin to speak in line with God's word, faith has something to give substance to. So important. That is how God created in the beginning. John 1:1 talks about the fact that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word, everything that we see was created. God had an image in himself of what he wanted to create. In the beginning, the earth was without form and it was void, and darkness covered the face of the earth. But when God wanted to create, in the beginning, he didn't stand there and call darkness. Look at how dark it is. Look at how chaotic it is. Look at what is happening here. No, he spoke it. And in the mighty name of Jesus, he said, light, let there be light. And there was light. In the same way in your life. And that is why he says, by it the elders obtained a good report. To obtain a good report in your life, no matter what may be going on in your life this morning, no matter how chaotic sometimes it looks, you can say, in the mighty name of Jesus, I have a God, I have a Father, I believe his word, I believe what he has spoken to me will come to pass. I will stand on his promises, I will stand on his word, I refuse to be moved, and in the mighty name of Jesus, let there be light in my life as well. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And when you speak in line with God's word, then God goes to work and creates on your behalf. We walk by faith and not by sight. For instance, if you are sick, when sickness tries to attach itself on your body, you have an image in you of you being healed. That image comes from God's word in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, that says, he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, and by his stripes ye were healed. Matthew chapter 8, verse 17 says, he himself took our infirmity and our sickness, and he took it. Took is in the past tense. Where also is also in the past tense. From God's standpoint, the work has already been done. How do I then transfer it into my life? Take his word. And I'm jumping ahead of my lesson here. Take his word and build an image in you based on God's word. Hope is the substance of things hoped for. If you are hopeless, you become helpless. That's why some people get hopeless to the extent that they take their life, because they can't see any light at the end of the tunnel. But I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you will never be without hope. In the mighty name of Jesus. But instead, you will build. You will see yourself the way God sees you based on his word. If you see yourself succeeding in your family life and in any area of your life, what does God's word have to say? God's word is the foundation of our faith. It's so important for us to realize that. You see, we cannot realize appropriate what God has done for us without faith. So important. And we looked at this. Let's go back to those scriptures. I don't want us to let it get away from us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians chapter 1. Mark that verse in your Bible. Do something to it so it doesn't get away from you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And then also we look at it again. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessing there is. He says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He's given us exceeding great and precious promises, that we may escape the corruption that is in the world. But notice Hebrews 11:11 says, by faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. By faith she received. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Thank you, Lord. You see, God has prepared a rest for us. There's the rest of faith. There's a place where we get to where we trust God that his promise will be fulfilled in our life. Notice what he says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. He says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them. Notice the phrase. Not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Verse 3. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said. So I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. This company of people were not able to, enter what God had already finished for them, because the word that came to them was not mixed with faith. They didn't believe God's word. God said, I'm taking you to the promised land. They sent spies to go and spy out the land, and there were giants in the land. They came back and they reported what they saw, which was the giants. God knows about the giants that we'll face along our walk. That is why it's a fight of faith. God knows. God knew about the giants, but he didn't tell them about the giants. If God is with you, who cares about the giants? Think about it. If God be for us, who can be against us? But I like my friend Caleb and Joshua. They believe the word of God. And they said, these people, they are bread for us. Someone is calling giants bread. Bread is something that you feed on daily. Oh, when you enter his rest, you believe that God has a plan for your life. You believe that he's blessed you with every spiritual blessing that there is. You believe that he has given you exceeding great and precious promises, that by them you may be partakers of the divine nature, and you trust and believe his word, and then by faith you receive. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He says, therefore, say, verse 4 says, Hebrews 4:4, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, God rested on the seventh day from all his works, and again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Verse 6 says, since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as he had been said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. Therefore, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. When we enter the rest of faith, God created everything. He created perfectly, and he expected it to work. In the same way, when we enter our rest, we are not trying to let the word of God produce. So many times, that's where the struggle of faith is. We try in our effort to let the word of God produce. No, God and his word are one. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. God's word has the ability to be fulfilled in our lives. But the key here is, notice verse 11, he says, let us therefore be diligent. There is diligence to involve to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. The diligence there is we taking God's word and planting it in our heart, or meditating and thinking on his word, so it gets in our heart. That is the diligence. Once God's, no effort, I tell you, is required on the part of man to produce faith when the entrance or God's word enters our heart. The light will be automatically there. The entrance of his word gives light. When God's word gets in our heart, in the name of Jesus, the light will come on. We will see what God's word is saying, and that word spoken out of our mouth will be fulfilled in our life. If you believe that, say amen this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And in verse 12, he talks about for the word of God. Notice how he ties the rest to the word of God. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. When you trust God's word, he knows everything is open. When you are seeking his kingdom first, he knows. He knows everything is open before him. The word of God, I like that phrase, it is living. It's living and powerful. When it is planted in our heart, it has the ability to produce. It has the ability to produce. That is how we enter his rest. We think on his word. We feed on his word. Notice in the parable of the sower, he said our heart is the soil. That is where we plant the word of God in there. And as we do that, it will produce in our life. You may be surrounded by so many circumstances, but you have entered his rest. He that believes has. He that believes has. He that believes. The believer is a possessor. He that believes has entered his rest and sees from his own work. He that believes has. The believer is a possessor. Thank you, Lord. Jesus says something similar in John chapter 6, verse 47. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Has. The believer has. The believer is a possessor. So important. There remains a rest for us. Hebrews 4:3 says, for we who have believed do enter. We who have believed do enter the rest. That is how to enter the rest of God. To believe his word and to speak it out of your mouth. So important. And when we do that, nothing is impossible. All things are possible to him who believes, Jesus said in Mark chapter 9, verse 23. And in Mark chapter 10, verse 47, he says, for with God, nothing is impossible. When we believe God's word, the impossible becomes possible. Hallelujah. And so this morning, in the name of Jesus, I don't know what you may be faced with. I don't know what you may be going through. But in Jesus' name, as we trust and believe God's word, I pray that may God turn it around. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, that was the introduction. Let's get into the meme here. I'm just joking. Enter the rest. Enter the rest. There is an account. We look at two accounts this morning. As to two people who entered the rest of God in that particular area. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Mark chapter 5, verse 22. This is very important for us. This story blesses me. He says, and behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. And then the next account there is the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years. This person comes to Jesus begging him earnestly. He fell down at his feet and begged him saying, Jesus. I pray that you have a revelation of Jesus this morning. Jesus, another revelation. My daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her and she will live. And then this woman comes and interrupts Jesus. But up to this point, you will see that Jesus is carrying the power. But these people are making a deposit or a withdrawal on the power. There's a multitude around. But not everyone is receiving. You see, you can come into God's presence and not everyone may receive. We have to make a conscious effort that as I've come into his presence, I am going to receive. This man came, but he was interrupted. Think about the emotions that he's going through. The woman with the issue of blood stops Jesus, touches the hem of his garment and gets healed. But can you imagine what's going through the mind of Jairus? And while all this is going on, thank you, Lord. Verse 35 says, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? This child is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. And when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talita Kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given her to eat. Notice as soon as Jesus heard that the daughter is dead, the words that Jesus had said was, do not be afraid, only believe. Fear is going to stop your faith. Your faith that you started with in the beginning. Hold on to that faith. Don't let fear contaminate that faith. Don't let fear creep in and stop your faith from working. Notice that Jairus didn't say anything. He entered the rest. He entered his rest. If Jesus said, I shouldn't be afraid, I will not be afraid. The only statement you hear from Jairus is right there in the beginning. As soon as Jesus knew that the news was going to not help him, he knew that the news was going to make him afraid. And Jesus, you think about the circumstance that he's in. This woman, you are bleeding. 12 years. You are not at the point of death. Why bother Jesus? My daughter is at the point of death. Hers is more serious than your case. Can you not wait? You are still walking. You remember where we started? A living dog is better than a dead lion. You are not dead yet. Your case is serious, but my daughter is at the point of death. And now look what you have done. He has an opportunity to be offended at the lady, and even including Jesus. All that you are, look at what you have done. Now my child is dead. It's gone beyond the point of recovery. Oh, but Jesus said, do not fear, only believe. What are you going to do when you get a bad report from the doctor? What are you going to do about that family circumstance, about your children? What are you going to do about that business? This morning, the word of the Lord to you is, do not fear, only believe. Anything in your life that is dead or about to die and that is supposed to be alive, in the mighty name of Jesus this morning, I speak the word of God into it, that it comes back alive in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe that, say aloud amen this morning. Amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Jairus entered the realm, the rest of faith. If Jesus said, I shouldn't fear, I refuse to be moved by my sight. I refuse to be moved by the report from the house that my child is dead. I refuse to be moved by what my body is telling me. I refuse to be moved by what the doctor is saying. I refuse to be moved. You see, the circumstances of our life have a way of talking back to us. This situation has gone too far. This thing has gone way beyond where it cannot be recovered. But in the mighty name of Jesus, you get to the point where your eyes are on the Lord, your eyes are upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. He that has started a good work in my life, he will do it and bring it to completion. I refuse to look at the natural. I refuse to look at the physical. I am walking by faith in my God. I believe my God. What he has said will be fulfilled in my life. What I'm seeing in the natural is only, it's only temporal. I like what the Apostle Paul said. While we look not at the things that are temporal, for the things that we see are temporal, but the things that are eternal, that are invisible, those are permanent. I refuse. Oh, I am not, I like that song. I'm not moved by what I see. I am only moved by the word of God and by what I believe. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In the day of trouble, be still and know that he is God. He told the children of Israel in Exodus 14, verse 14, oh, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Enter my rest. The Egyptians that you see today, you will see them no more. There are some enemies that you may be confronted with as you trust and believe God's word. As you stand still, hold your peace, believe his word, enter his rest. The enemy that you see today, you will see them no more and forever. If you believe that, say amen this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God's word is able to produce in our life when we believe his word, when we trust his promises, when we trust God and his word, it will be fulfilled in our life. But fear comes our way to try to stop us, to try to hinder us in our walk with God. But we refuse to fear. We stand still trusting God and believe that his word will be fulfilled in our life. I like what the psalmist said in Psalm 46 verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we get to a point where you are asking, what is going to happen? There's so much turbulence in the world. There's so much turbulence sometimes in your own life. But you want to enter that place of rest in God. Well, place of rest. Be still and know that I am God. How many of us are glad this morning that he's still God? Oh, I am glad that he's still God. He hasn't left his throne. He hasn't stopped being God. Be still. Be at rest. Be at peace. Be still and know that I am God. Standing on his word. Standing on his promises. Jairus did that. Fear not. Only believe. And her child was brought back from the dead. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Labor or be diligent to enter that place of rest. There's another person also in 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 18. This Shunammite woman did not have a child. She didn't have a child at all. And the prophet came and said, you have been serving us all this time. Every time we passed by, she had a room reserved for the man of God where he went in and had a place to rest. What can be done for the man, for this woman? He said, I dwell among my own people. Should we speak to the king for you? He said, I don't need you to speak to the king for me. I already have influence in the community. But the prophet said, a year by this time, you will have a child. And then a child was born. But in the process of time, the child, notice 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 18, he says, and when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said to his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and then he died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray you, one of the young men. So he said, why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. And she said, it is well. Then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you. And so she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. So it was when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to his servant Gehazi, look, the Shunammite woman, please run now to meet her and say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. How can you say that? Oh, I know how women are sometimes. Oh, they care about the children, right? She cares about the child. The child is dead. But she has entered a place of rest because she knows and believes the man of God that if I can get there, this situation can be turned around. She gets there. The first question is, are you okay? Put yourself in that situation. How would you respond? She said, it is well. It is well. How is your husband? It is well. How about the dead child? It is also well. My Lord and my God. Oh, but by the end of that period, the child was raised back to life. Ah, in the name of Jesus, I like that song that says, it is well with my soul. No matter what you are confronted with today, learn to say it is well, because I am still and I know that I have a God. I know that my God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he did it yesterday, he will do it again. He has never changed. And because he lives, I can live also. Because he lives, my tomorrow will be all right. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, there is nothing that God cannot turn around. She said it is well, but when in the natural, it wasn't well with her. And sooner or later, the natural changed to conform with what she believed. It is a spiritual law. The things that we see, remember what we started in Hebrews. The visible was created out of the invisible. Anything in your life, any unwanted circumstance in your life that is not in line with God's plan is subject to change. It's subject to change as we trust and believe God's word and speak in line with his word. I like what one of us did. They had an appointment to go for surgery. And she said, I am tired of the slicing and the dicing of my body. I'm not going to subject myself to this again. And when she went and they tested for whatever they were looking for, it wasn't there. Glory to God. And she said, then all of us can go home then. There's nothing to do. But she got to the point where she believed that he himself took my infirmity and my sickness. Think about it. It's so important that natural always responds to faith in God's word, in line with God's word, because it's a spiritual law. That is, whether you realize it or not, that's how you got saved. Yeah. Romans chapter 10, verse 6, he says, but the righteousness of faith speaks. Faith always speaks. Faith always has a testimony in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will ascend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth. Notice the word has to be in two places. In your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. The word that I'm preaching this morning, faith is coming up in your heart. It has to be in two places. Verse 9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation or unto deliverance. When you put that spiritual law in motion, no devil in hell could prevent you from being born again. In the same way, when that law is put into motion in any area of your life that covers God's promises, it will be fulfilled. With the heart, one believes. With the mouth, confessing is made unto salvation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And in Romans chapter 3, verse 27, it is called the law of faith. Thank you, Lord. He says, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. It's a spiritual law. It is a spiritual law that works in the positive as well as in the negative. So important for us to realize that this morning. But the key here is, for with the heart one believes, and with the mouth confession. When that woman said it is well, it wasn't well with her. She was calling those things that be not as though they were. That is how God, notice Romans chapter 4. Thank you, Lord. Romans chapter 4 is so important. I'm taking my time to go through these things because these are so important. Notice in Romans chapter 4 verse 17, it says, as it is written, talking about Abraham, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom ye believe, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. That is faith. I have made you. God, faith is always now. No, Hebrews 11. Faith is always now. He says, I have made you. Not I'm going to. There's a difference there. I have made you. And when he says that, that is what causes it to come to pass. That is how he created in the beginning. When the woman said it is well, it wasn't well with her. But when it came out of her mouth, she had put in motion a spiritual law. And her circumstance changed. God says, I have made you, not I'm going to, a father of many nations. Look, think about Abraham. He is 100 years old. The wife is 90 years old. Where is the child going to come from? You don't even have one inside. You are talking about nations. God changed his name to a father of many nations. And every time that Abraham, or his name was mentioned, or he mentioned his name, he was agreeing with God and calling himself, oh, a father of many nations. I'm sure people will be looking at him and laughing at him and mocking at him. Where are the nations? Not even one. And you are old. Oh, but sooner or later, what did he do? Verse 18, he says, contrary to hope, in hope believe, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendant be, and not being weak in faith. You have to realize that there are degrees of faith as well. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. I have made you a father of many nations. Like him, he took on his name and called himself a father of many nations. But before God did that, he sent him outside. He had to give him hope. He had to give him a picture. He said, look on the stars. They're as numerable as these stars are, so your children will be. When he had that picture, that was his hope. Then faith goes into action and gives substance when he starts calling himself by that name. And sooner or later, it's a spiritual law. Something will be produced. It will, creation will take place. So important for us to realize that. This morning in your life, whatever may seem to be dead, Jesus is still the same. God is still the same. And faith in God and in his word can turn it around. How many of us can give glory to God? How many of us are convinced or fully persuaded that what God has promised he's able to perform? Then you are strong in faith. That's what he's calling strong faith here. If you are convinced, not in your head, but in your heart, that what God has promised, he's able to fulfill, and you can give glory to God. Father, I thank you for my family. Lord, I thank you for my life. Lord, I thank you that you are my God. I am still knowing that I am still, and I know that you are God. This that I'm faced with, oh, you are a God that can raise the dead. The dead process may have started in my body in the form of sickness, but you haven't forgotten how to heal the sick. In the mighty name of Jesus, I receive that healing in my body. In the name of Jesus, oh, there may be chaos all around, but I am fully convinced that you are the God that shall supply all my need, not just some of my need. You are above all. You are my very own Father. You know how to take good care of me. You care about me and about me watchfully. Oh, you watch over me day and night. I refuse to worry. I enter your rest. I trust your promises. I trust your word. I trust who you are. Oh, I refuse. Abraham did not consider his body. I refuse to consider my body. I walk by faith and not by sight. I believe the word of God. And sooner or later, I can see God turning your circumstance around. I can see God changing it around. Nothing is too late for God to turn around. Oh, the report may say something different. Oh, but I like Isaiah 53 verse 1. Whose reports will you believe? To whom will the arm of the Lord be revealed? Oh, the one who will believe the report of the Lord. I believe the report of God. I believe what God has said. I refuse to be moved. I am not moved by what I see. I am not moved by what my senses tell me. I am not moved by the natural. I am only moved by the word of God. I have entered his rest. And I know that word is living. I know Jesus is not dead. If he is with me, I know everything will be all right. Oh, I know what he did for Jairus, he will do for me. What he did for Abraham, he will do for me. What he's done in the past, he will do it again. Oh, this circumstance is not forever. My God is still alive. My God is still alive. I don't serve a dead God. I serve a living God. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same forever. Oh, if you believe that, lift up your voice and give him praise this morning. Lift up your hands and give him glory. He was strengthened in his faith and give glory to God. Our God is still the same. Is there anything too hard for our God? There is nothing too hard for our God. There is nothing too hard for our God. There is nothing too hard for your Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, I am the God of all flesh. I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? This morning I see some mountains moved out of the way. I see you entering his rest. Rest all around. Pressing this morning. In the name of Jesus, we serve a living God. My Lord, his presence is here this morning. Lift up your voice. That woman said it as well. Enter his rest. Labor diligently to enter his rest. Lift up your voice to the Lord. Something is happening this morning. By faith, Sarah received. By faith, you can receive. Receive his promises in your life. Enter his rest. Peace be still. Thank you, my Lord. Thank you, my God. In the mighty name of Jesus, lift up your voice to the Lord. Let's rise to our feet this morning. Lift up your voice to the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Be fully persuaded that what he has said, he's able to perform. God will not fail you. He will not fail your family. Oh, your tomorrow will be all right. Oh, you do not need to be afraid. You do not need to fear. Your tomorrow will be all right. Your God is still alive. In the mighty name of Jesus, thank you, Father.
We trust this podcast was a blessing. Subscribe for more messages like these. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@wordmissionchurchinternational.org. We will love to equip you in daily walk, so sign up for daily devotionals and encouragement at www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. You may reach us at 719-235-5535 or write us at P.O. Box 15883, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80935.